Okay, we are doing Bava Basra, Perek 6. Hamoyche Peiros the Chaver Avelot Simchu. Somebody sells seeds for planting to somebody, and it's seeds that are edible, and then you can plant them and you can eat them. And there was no discussion at the time whether it was for planting or for eating. And they did not grow. Even if it was flax seeds, which are often sold, which are usually bought for planting, but sometimes you can eat them. And if it doesn't grow, if the seed is not the right quality or they're not the right health for it to grow, he's not chayev because he didn't, when he sold it, there was no discussion what it's for. So he can, even though it didn't grow, the seller can say, I sold it to you for eating, not for planting. Therefore, I'm not responsible if it didn't grow. So this few missions are talking about when you sell something, what is the implied condition? What is the implied properties of the item that is selling? Reb Shimon Gamliel, Aimer, Zaroine, Gina, Shena, Necholin. If you sold something but it's not edible, you sold him plants, tomato seeds, and you can't eat them, so if they didn't grow, so if it's something, the first part of the mission is if it's something that's edible and plantable, so there was no discussion. So if it didn't grow, you can say, okay, I sold it to you for eating. But if it's not edible, then you have, yeah, then you, if it doesn't grow, then you have to replace it or to buy it back, to reimburse the customer. Somebody sells produce to his friend. So when you buy, nowadays you go to the supermarket, it's pretty clean when you buy. But in those days, you'd buy vegetables or whatever you would buy, it would have a bit of dirt attached to it, a bit of earth or just straw, whatever it was. So when you're buying, if you're going to somebody, you're buying a quantity of produce, then the buyer has to accept a quarter kav of dirt for each saw of produce, which is 1/24. It means 4% of the weight can be dirt or stones or straw. Te'enim, if you're buying figs, kavukavul of esem to lois lemea. Out of every 100, you can expect 10 to be have worms. Therefore, if 90% are good, you have no claim. If 80% are only are good and 20% have worms, you can claim for the extra 10. That's an expected feature of buying produce. Martev shel yain, if somebody's selling the some wine from a cellar, Mekabel of Esther Koisus Lemea. You have to, out of 100 barrels, 10 of them can be. Today, when you buy wine, everything is equal. All the bottles taste exactly the same, look the same. But in those days, somebody was making wine in his basement, in his cellar. Some comes out good, comes out not so good. So you have to accept 10%. You have to accept that it's not so good. It's lower quality. So the wine would turn a bit sour. It wasn't yet vinegar, but it was a bit off. So up to 10%, you have to accept. Kankanen b'sharoin. If you're selling containers, jugs or barrels made out of earthenware in Sharon in Eretz Yisrael, the Sharon area. You have to accept 10 lower quality wines for every 100, because the clay in Sharon was not good quality for making earthenware kalim, and so you have to accept that the 10% would not would wouldn't really be very good. Up to 10%, you have to accept second quality. 90% have to be good, and 10%, if up to 10%, you have to accept that they're going to be second quality. Okay, now we're talking about the Marchiyah. So somebody sells wine, and turns out it's and it turned into vinegar. Ain't the sorry. So it's talking about it's talking about that somebody came to your basement, and you sold him some wine, but he put it into his own kalim. He bought his own kalim with, he put it into his own kalim. Then the wine turns sour, so now it's vinegar. So the merchant who sold it can say, it's not my fault. It's your kalim were not suitable for holding this wine, and that's why. And that's why it's spoiled. So if you sell wine and it goes bad, then you're not responsible. Even if you tell the merchant even if you tell the merchant I'm going to use this slowly, it has to last for a year, but it didn't, since he put it into his own kalim. Therefore, you're not responsible. But if somebody has a reputation, his wine goes bad pretty quickly, that's his reputation, and you came and bought by him, you didn't know that, and then it turned sour. You can claim that it was a mistake. You can go back and ask for your money back, because the merchant knows it. It goes bad. The buyer didn't know, but now he found out, so he can go back. Say it's a mechatoras. I didn't. Had I known that it would go bad, I wouldn't have bought it. So he can go back and get his money back. But if the merchant said to him, I'm selling you good quality wine, mevusa means it's flavored wine, which does not go bad, usually it stays fresh longer. He has to give him wine that's going to be good until Atzeres, until Shavuos. So that means if it's sold to him in the winter, it has to be good for Shavuos. After Shavuos, it's hot weather already, so then the heat can destroy the wine. But till Shavuos, it has to last. So if you say I'm selling you Yain Mevusim, which is flavored wine, which was better quality wine, has to last till Shavuos. Yoshon, if he says I'm selling you old wine, somebody comes, I want to buy some old wine. The longer it stays in the cask, the better it is. So this, he says, I want to buy old wine. It has to be at least a year old. Mishal it has to be at least a year old. Umiyoshon. So if you say Yoshon, I want to buy Yain Yoshon, or I'm selling Yain Yoshon, has to be at least a year old. If it says Umiyoshon, Umiyoshon means it's aged. It means it's deliberately kept longer to age it. Michelle Shalashon, it has to be 3 years old. Okay, Mishnah four. So if I sell you a piece of land on which to build a house, or somebody accepts a contract to build a house. So if I'm selling you a piece of land to build a house on, or I'm contracting with you to be the builder, so then the following applies. If it's based chasnus livnoi. So in the times of the Mishnah, somebody got married, his family has kids, the oldest kid got married, you would build a small attachment to your existing house for the young couple to live in. Or based amnus levito, if his daughter was a widow, he was building a small house for her. So if he's building the house, either he's providing the land or he's building the house for his newly married son to live in, or for his widowed daughter to live in. Boina arba amas hashesh has to be 6 amas by 4 amas at least. So if you agree to sell land or build a house without specifying the size, the Mishnah says this is the minimum size it has to be, which is pretty small. Arba amas is around 9 feet, depending if how you calculate the amas. Between 9 and 12 feet. Shesh Amos is between 12 and 18 feet. So between 9 and 12. Shesh Amos is between 6 and 8. And Shesh Amos is between 9 and 12. So it's going to be approximately 100 square feet. It's a pretty small little house, but there seems they were happy in those times with that. That's what Rabbi Kiva says. You have to build, this is the minimum size you have to build, or minimum size piece of land you have to provide. Rishon Leimer, who said this is not a, this size building is not fit for people, it's fit for animals. Refes Boker means it's a stable for animals. Right, the last is Refes Boker. If somebody wants to make a little shed for his animals outside his house, then it's 6 amos by 4 amos. But if it's a house for a young couple or for a widow, it has to be larger than that. So Reb Shmuel is arguing with the Tanna Kamma, with Reb Akiva, saying that 4 amos by 6 amos is not big enough, has to be bigger. Okay, so that's the basic machlokes of Reb Akiva and Reb Shmuel. Mishnah now talks about other. The whole parak is people today, everyone's very sophisticated. In times of the Mishnah, most people couldn't read. Most people didn't. They couldn't read. They didn't go to school. They had no education of any kind. Yeah. Okay. So here, my friend comes to me, sell me a piece of land for a house. Okay. We don't. Neither of us are very educated. So okay. So the Mishnah says this is the minimum size. I mean, if you discuss it, there's no problem. There's no machlokas in the Mishnah. There's no. You can discuss anything you want. But if you didn't discuss, this is what the mission says, this is the minimum you have to provide. Okay, bias cotton. If you agreed to build a bias cotton, it's shesh al shmoina. So before the size was 4 by 6, now it's 6 by 8. That's a small house. Is the minimum is 6 amos by 8 amos. A godol shmoina lesser. If it's a big house, it's 8 amos by 10 amos, which would be 12 feet by 15, which is still 180 square feet, not very big either. And shtraklin, if it's like a real shtraklin, like a mansion, SL assets, 10 amos by 10 amos. So if you undertake to build a shtraklin, it has to be at least 10 amos by 10 amos. So that, okay, that's this is the floor plate of the house. Rumoy, what's the height of the house? The chatzi arka v'chatzi rachboy. The height of the house you have to build is, if you add up half the width and half the height, so that's half the width and half the breadth. I mean, that's the height of the house. So if it's 10 amos by 8, so half of 10 is 5 and half of 8 is 4, so it has to be 9 amos high. So the bigger it is, the higher the roof, which makes sense. The proof from this is the Heichel, which Shlomo HaMelech built, which was 40 amos by 20 amos. So half of 40 is 20, and half of 20 is 10. So and it was 30 amos high. The Heichel was 40 by 20, and it was 30 amos high. So that's the formula we follow when we decide what the height it has to be. So Reb Shimon says no. The Heichel was, you can't bring a proof from the Heichel. The Heichel was like a special building. So Shimon says you can't bring any riots from the Heichel. The width, he doesn't, Shimon doesn't say what it should be, he just says there's no proof from the Heichel because that was an unusual building. Okay, now we go in the previous mission, in the previous parak, we learned that if I sell you my house, but I keep a well inside, a well or a bar of mayim inside the house, then you have to give me a right of way. So the Mishnah now explains what this right of way looks like. Ish leish de bar lefnimi beis shel chaveiroi. So I have a bar inside your house, and you sold me the house. Sorry, I sold you my house, and now I kept a well inside the house, and now I want to have access to my well. Then you can only have access at normal hours. Means from 8 in the morning till 8 in the evening, let's say. You can't go into 2 in the morning and say, I want to have access to my well. So it has to be nichnas. You can go into the house to have access to your well at the time that not the normal reasonable hours. The yotze, and you come in during a normal time and you leave during a normal time. The ena machnis behem. I cannot take my animal into your house to feed, to give water to drink to my animal from the well. That's not included. You have to, only I can come in, not my animals. If I want to give water to my animal, I take a bucket, fill it up, and take it outside and give it to my animal. This is interesting. So if I have a water well in your house, so I'm going to put a lock on it because I don't want you to take my water. I'm going to put a lock on. The Mishnah says, I'm going to put a lock on the well. You shouldn't, because it's my water. I don't want you to take my water. I'm going to put a padlock on it. Mishnah says the owner of the house also should put a padlock on it. Both should, the owner of the house and the guy, the owner of the bar, they both put a lock on. And what's the reason? The reason is because that way I can only, if somebody bought the well, he can only have access to the well when the owner of the house is around. Because they both have keys to the well and they both have to open it. If the owner of the house is not there, the guy who owns the well can't access his well. The Mishnah says they should both have. What's the reason? The reason is if one guy, the owner of the well, has a padlock, and he can come in, he can open it any time during reasonable hours, and the owner of the house is out of the house, then people will start saying that he's has some relationship with the wife of the owner of the house. So therefore, the Chachamim said, in order that people shouldn't start gossiping and saying that something wrong is happening, they both should have key. So that way, the guy who owns the well cannot come in unless cannot get to access to his well unless the owner of the house is there, because he has the second lock. And therefore, there will not be any gossip about the situation.